7:43, I'm Teresa Wills. On this West Virginia morning, who let the dogs out? Turns out, you.
During one couple-day event, we actually placed about 167 animals into foster homes. Those foster homes have become foster failure homes. So those fosters have become adopters, which is fantastic news.
Some shelters are short on pets, but what happens when once again we're allowed to leave our homes? First, this news. The West Virginia National Guard began conducting tests for COVID-19 yesterday at a poultry processing plant in Moorefield, Hardy County. According to West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources, the number of positive tests in the county have increased recently. Liz McCormick has more.
In a virtual press conference Friday, Governor Jim Justice said members of the National Guard would be sent to Moorefield to respond to testing needs at Pilgrim's Pride, a chicken processing plant that's the largest employer in the county. Testing of about 940 workers will occur on every shift, according to a news release from a Hardy County Sheriff's Office spokesman. The office is handling media requests for the health department. Employees will have the choice to be tested for COVID-19, according to a Pilgrim's Pride representative. The company said employees will have their temperatures checked daily and that it won't punish workers for not coming into work for health reasons. The sheriff's office spokesman told WVPB he believes there were a few cases related to the plant, but he did not elaborate, and Pilgrims won't say either. The number of confirmed cases in the county jumped from 3 on April 27th to 16 as of Monday morning, according to DHHR's coronavirus tracker and the Hardy County Health Department. Meat processing plant workers are an especially vulnerable population during this crisis. Thousands of workers have tested positive for the coronavirus at meat processing plants across the country, leading to the closure of some plants and prompting meat shortages. The Moorefield plant is still open. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
State health officials report COVID-19 is disproportionately impacting West Virginia's African American community. A statewide task force met for the first time to address this, Emily Allen reports.
Roughly 7% of the state's positive cases are in the African American community, a group that only accounts for 4% of the state's total population. Statistically speaking, those who have tested positive in West Virginia's Black community have shown symptoms more often than those who are white, and they're being hospitalized more. Reverend James Patterson from Charleston says part of this is due to existing social determinants that restrict the Black community's access to health information and resources like testing.
This is this pandemic, but we live in a constant pandemic.
Patterson is on a 12-membered task force that met for the first time today, addressing the state's response to unique issues that the African American community faces with COVID-19.
Just the ordinary living for a lot of people of color is a pandemic situation.
State officials have been criticized for a slow response to African American concerns during the pandemic. Secretary Bill Crouch for the State Department of Health and Human Resources says that delay was due in part to the fact that the state was not, quote, ready for this situation. He says this task force could help spread awareness and access to testing. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
Maybe you've been spending more time at home and have been wondering, is this a good time to adopt a new pet? Well, it may actually be difficult to adopt at the moment. That's because during the pandemic, many shelters have closed their doors and stopped in-person adoptions. Adoptions across the country have actually decreased, according to PetPoint, an online resource for animal shelters. More people are stepping up to foster animals, taking them home short-term during the pandemic. The future for many animal rescue charities and nonprofits is precarious. They face funding shortages due to the economic shutdown of the COVID-19 pandemic. So what will happen to these rescue organizations and all these animals moving forward? Reporter Kyle Vass has the story.
At the Cabell Wayne Animal Shelter, you can just walk right up and see what dogs they have for adoption. During the day, 10 to 15 dogs are placed in these outdoor kennels. They're these gated off spaces with concrete floors. They're about 25 feet wide and 10 feet deep. Each kennel has a doghouse, a water bowl, and even a ceiling fan. Today, the dogs are on high alert. They see me, a stranger with a fuzzy-looking microphone, and they start doing what dogs do best. Leading this dog chorus is Bellamy. He's a 2-year-old brindle mix, and right now, he's on top of his doghouse, letting everyone know he sees me. At the far end of this row of kennels, there's Briar, a beautiful gray pit bull. She cannot be bothered to bark along with the others, and instead she just paws at the gate, begging to be loved. According to the director, these 10 pups make up half the population of dogs currently staying at this shelter.
We're holding pretty steady around 20 dogs.
And that's down considerably from before the pandemic?
Oh, Lord, yes. We always had it somewhere between like 85 and 100, somewhere in that range.
That's animal shelter director Courtney Cross. She says getting the number of animals at her shelter down is important for two reasons. One, she wants to keep the number of volunteers and staff who have to come to work down. And secondly, shelters like hers rely on animal rescue organizations. These are third-party nonprofits that take animals from shelters and put them into homes. If these rescue organizations are unable to secure funding due to the recent economic downturn, her shelter will be overrun with animals.
We send a lot of our animals to rescue organizations. As states shut down, if the rescues were not able to do adoption events, then what would happen?
One of these animal rescue organizations is in Ona, West Virginia. Little Victories sits on 115 acres of beautiful farmland with a winding creek running through it. The director, Stephanie Howell, meets me on an overcast day to show me around.
Right now what you're looking at, these are what we call our cottages, and they look like little houses. I mean, they've got doors and windows, and they have little doggy doors on them. The porches are set, and so when it's raining, they can sit outside and be under shelter, which is nice.
As we head up the road, she points out a building on the right.
Then this is the cat sanctuary, which is a double-wide trailer, and literally the cats just roam free in there. Typically, when we're full, we have 35 cats, and what you saw out there is in the sanctuary, there's 22 dogs. Typically, in a given day, we could have anywhere from 7 to 15 requests. Some days we get 25 if we've got two litters of kittens or, you know, something like that. But there's always a wait list here.
The people on that wait list are hoping to surrender their pets to Hal. Despite the fact that her organization is usually full, Hal doesn't reject people. If she can't accept their pets right away, she puts them on a wait list, but she also offers advice on how to deal with common pet problems, like how to potty train a puppy. Her organization has even helped out with vet bills from time to time.
It costs a lot of money to run these kind of facilities. I don't think people typically realize how much it costs. It costs us, like I told you before, $1,100 a day. I'm responsible for raising about $400,000 a year. And we do not get any city, national, state level funding. So it's all through grants that we can apply for, donations, fundraising events, and things like that.
She says her organization's made it through the first quarter of the year. But the economic downturn does have her worried about future funding.
Come on. Come here.
Amanda Kinder and her family decided to adopt Lucy 3 weeks ago.
She's a Pyrenees mix. We're not sure what the mix is, but we do know she's Pyrenees. She is tiny and kind of white and cream colored, and she's got white on her little socks and on her face. They actually call the coloring on her face badger. It looks kind of similar to a raccoon mask.
Amanda says her kids have been begging for a dog for years.
And I figured right now, with everybody being at home, this would be a great time for everybody to be able to actually learn to take care of her and her schedule and get her used to our schedule without people, you know, being gone for long periods of time.
Even with four people in the house, Amanda says taking care of an 11-week-old puppy isn't all cuddles and playtime.
Definitely her getting up in the middle of the night. So kind of like a toddler, they do not sleep entirely through the night yet. So we're working on that.
She recommends anyone adopting a puppy first make a list of all the things they need.
It's just like when you're pregnant and you have a baby and you buy all of the things and you go through the great big list of all the things you need. We kind of did the same. We're like, okay, she needs a crate and she needs a puppy bed and she needs a collar and she needs a harness and she needs a leash. She needs toys and she needs food. She needs chewy treats. So.
In addition to needing lots of stuff, pets also need a lot of time. And although most families are staying at home right now, this won't last forever.
Do you think that it'll be harder when everybody ends up having to go back to work or when people aren't as home as often?
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Because right now she's got unending amounts of attention and people are playing with her. And if she barks, somebody in the house will definitely come to her and see what she needs or play with her or take her outside. So I think when all of this does go kind of back to normal, I'm sure it'll be an adjustment for her just like everybody else.
When the stay-at-home order is finally lifted and people go back to school and work, what sort of effect will this have on these newly adopted pets? The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals issued a statement on this. They said that pet owners should start slowly acclimating animals to being left alone so that they aren't caught off guard when we do go back to work. They say these new pets, quote, may be left confused and potentially lonely when family members start spending less time at home. For a lot of us right now, pets have entered our confused and potentially lonely lives. Whatever it looks like when humans do go back out into the world, our pets will have to adapt. And in some ways, so will we. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Kyle Vass in Cabell County.
For all the challenges the coronavirus has brought us, including loss of life and loneliness, the pandemic does have some benefits for new pet owners, like more time bonding, training, and learning each other's habits and personalities. Student producer at West Virginia University, Maxwell Shavers, has this story about what the pandemic has meant for some people wanting to adopt a dog.
Well, we had been looking for a shelter dog for a while, and I had been emailing back and forth with the shelter, watching the animals that they had. One morning, the director sent me a picture of that puppy and asked if we wanted to come see it, and I said we'd be there in 5 minutes.
Derek Lambert is a coordinator at the Department of Education in Charleston, West Virginia. A couple weeks ago, he and his partner adopted a black lab mix from the Kanawha Charleston Humane Association. They named him Orion.
We went and we weren't able to go inside, so we actually stood out in the rain and met him for the first time at the shelter.
That's because, due to the pandemic, the shelter has had to make some changes, including following social distancing guidelines.
And, I mean, as soon as we held him, we're like, yeah, we're taking him home.
Holly Goheen is the Director of Development at the KCHA. She said since the pandemic started, the number of people adopting and fostering has increased.
During one couple-day event, we actually placed about 167 animals into foster homes. Those foster homes have become foster failure homes. So those fosters have become adopters, which is fantastic news.
Goheen says there were 371 animals adopted in March and April this year, an increase of nearly 50 adoptions when compared to the same time last year. This increase surprised Goheen, who thought the state's stay-at-home order would come with a decline in adoptions. But social distancing guidelines have resulted in some challenges for the shelter.
One change that we have made during the pandemic is we've been doing adoptions by appointment, so and a lot of adoptions over the phone.
Puppies are particularly in demand. My dog was 14 years old when he had to be put down in November. My family and I mourned the loss for months. But during the state stay-at-home order, we too thought it would be nice to have a puppy along for the ride. And now we have Jet, a black lab terrier mix whom we adopted from the shelter 5 weeks ago. And we've been spending lots of time together since then.
I'm just concerned that like once everything gets back to normal, he's gonna have separation issues or something.
Well, that means you need another pet. You need another puppy.
My mom is just already talking about
She could be right. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Maxwell Shavers in Charleston, West Virginia.
Who let the dogs out?
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.